will last forever. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. I need you to help me with something this morning. I need you to help me to understand something that I've been observing for a long time. That how can anyone cop an attitude with God, our Heavenly Father, for accepting a loved one or a brother or sister back into the church, back into our homes, and in our communities? Perhaps after repenting and turning from their wicked ways, then you find out that they're was a celebration, a barbecue for their return. And you have an attitude because the barbecue wasn't for you. Then you find out that they were given a new role. Was it your role? And you heard about the diamond ring that the Father placed on that finger, but was it your ring? Help me to understand this morning, because how can anybody cop an attitude all because our brothers and sisters have returned from a righteous living and we have the nerve to have an attitude as though we never sinned and come short to the glory of God? Here's the best thing I want you to understand. God has blessed you with an inheritance. The scripture was read in verses 11 and 12. He divided unto them. What did you do with yours? But you got a nerve to point your finger at me because I might have wasted mine, but yet I have returned because I know what I've done wrong. But God gave me an opportunity to repent and come back to Him. But you are pointing your fingers at me as though you've never done anything contrary to the will of God. So I want you to turn your Bibles and keep it there to Luke chapter 15. I want to read verses 25 through 32. You don't have to stand. Because Jesus teaches this parable of the prodigal sons, how he wasted his life with the inheritance that he asked his father for. But at the end of the story is what I'm not going to focus a lot on both, but I want to get to the father because the father really is the star of the story. But the attitude of the elder brother and his patience and the patience of the father, who waited for his younger brother to return, not knowing whether he will return home. Can you imagine that? But when he saw him afar, he ran out and greeted his son. And at the end of the parable, the father goes out to greet the elder son who wouldn't go in to join the party. Verse 25 through 32 reads, now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father have killed the fatted calf, because he have received him safe and sound. And he was angry, here's the attitude, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I serve thee, neither transgress thou at any time thy commandments. And yet Thou hast never, y'all see the selfishness in this young man? He said, and yet thou hast never given me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son have come, which have devoured thy living with harlots, thou have killed for him the fatted calf. And he said, and the father said unto him, and said, and he said, but the father said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. Such amazing grace. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you, Father God, for this service right now. It is my prayer, Father God, that you would bless this word as I have studied. Father God, I pray to you, bring back to my memory, God, everything that I've studied, that I may give to your people your word. I thank you right now, and I pray in Jesus' name that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord God, if there's anyone that doesn't know you and a pardon of their sins, after this message is preached, Father, that they will run to the altar crying, what must I do to be saved? Just as the prodigal son repented and went back home, perhaps there's one today, God, that needs to repent and come back to you. We ask all these many blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For a thought this morning, I want to preach the patience of a loving father. The patience of a loving father. 3 points that I want to use, and these 3 points, they're added in the message. Number one, a surprise party. Number two, the abundance of the father. And number three, your access to the abundance. Number one, a surprise party. Number two, the abundance of the Father. And number three, your access to the abundance. Amen. Today, my brothers and sisters, there has been many, many, many wonderful and powerful messages that has been preached about the prodigal son. There has been great revelation, some personal testimonies, soul-stirring messages, evangelistic messages, and hundreds, perhaps thousands of people around this world, even throughout the years, have come to Christ because preachers have preached illustrious messages about the prodigal son and his journey and his process. His chaos, his dilemmas, his turmoil, his confusion that culminated in him having a moment and an experience where he came to himself and decided to go back home where he was meant to be. Today it's not my assignment to elaborate too much concerning the prodigal son, because in my opinion, we focus too much time on the prodigals. We focus too much time on the waivers and the disorderlies that we fail to recognize the love and the patience of the Father. You see, the real star of the story is not the prodigal son nor his elder brother, but the star of the story is the Father himself, who is steadfast and stable and consistent. All of the other variables in the story changes. Some of you have heard the story, and as well as I did, how the younger brother said to the father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he took the portion of goods and went into a far country and wasted his substance with a riotous living. And there arose a famine in the land. Embarrassing enough, instead of going home and repent the first opportunity he had, he began to be in want and went and joined himself and became a citizen of that country. He fell so low down that he got a job feeding pigs in a hog pen. And the Bible says that he would have feigned to have filled his belly with the husks that the hogs were eating. But just at the point where he was about to go all the way down, the Bible says he came to himself. Isn't it amazing the places that God will allow you to just come to yourself? You see, everybody doesn't come to themselves in a church service. Everybody doesn't come to themselves in an ideal situation. Everybody doesn't come to themselves in a moment that's glorious or glamorous. But God has a way to reveal himself sometimes when we at our worst moment, and when you get your greatest revelation of who God is in your life. And it's imperative that you get a revelation of who God is, because we have, my brothers and sisters, raising sons and daughters who have a deeper revelation of church than they do of God. They know all about church. They know all about doctrine. They know all about denomination. They know enough about arguing, how to be combative, and they know church protocol. I'm blessed. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And they know a lot of nice things to say, but they aren't not getting a deeper revelation of who God is. And because we're leading, and because we are pastoring and teaching and training people who have a deep revelation about us than they do about God, they are breaking the backs of our leadership. We have to be cheerleaders every Sunday. Entertain them every week. Come up with more and more unique ways to preach messages, unless they get bored with us or our services. All of a sudden, they move from church to church, from ministry to ministry, from place to place, and we have these unnecessary, oh glory to God, unnecessary arguments about who's the best preacher, who's the best teacher, who's got the biggest church, who's got the biggest car, who's got the best choir. Oh my God. And we're falling in love with people instead of falling in love with God. Am I right about it? I am concerned because we come to church Sunday after Sunday, and where we are supposed to be on one accord, where the power of God supposed to fall on all of us. You see, there is an anointing that becomes so strong that you'll see people laid out in the spirit. There also is an anointing that becomes so strong that you see someone dancing, someone leaping in the presence of the Lord, all because God is touching them in a significant way. But because we're living in a theatrical, entertaining age, some of us just come to sit back and watch the service like we are watching a movie, expecting to receive some mega, and somebody gives you a thumb up or somebody gives you a thumb down, trying Glory be to God. I wonder what would happen in the church if we were all on one accord. Here in our church with pastor and co-pastor. And we fall madly in love with God. And we didn't care what we looked like. And we didn't care what we had on. And we didn't care what seat we sat in. And didn't care what people thought about us. But we just began to bask in the presence of the Lord. You see, what God really wants, can I tell you this? What God really wants for us is to hunger and thirst just to know Him. Because if we love God the way we say we love Him, then and only then we wouldn't have problems loving one another and caring for one another like we ought to. I believe what God also wants is for all of us to be on one accord. So when the enemy attacks one, he attacks all. And if he can, if we can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000, even though I'm bad by myself, I'm always better when I got backup from you. If we would get on one accord. You see, what I don't need is another house. What I don't need is another car. What I don't need is another wife. What I don't need is all those things that's going to cause me to walk away from the will of God. I don't need to go out into a world, this world that we're living in, and drown myself in the sins of this world just to have pleasure for a day. I don't need nobody that's not going to be with me to back me when I'm in trouble. I don't need a brother or a sister that said that you're my brother and my sister only when we're in church. Because we're living in a time of day when we got so many things going on Sunday through Saturday. And sometimes I need to lock up with a brother. Sometimes, and I got to say this, y'all sisters need to understand a real man that just want to be loved. A real man that just want to talk to a sister, maybe just to get some information about how to love my wife further. You might have an answer for me, but yet you look at me because I'm talking to a sister. Is anything wrong with talking to my sisters? Is anything wrong with talking to the brothers? No. Then why are you messing with me because I want to talk to my sister? I might be blessing her with something financially. She might be blessing me with something spiritual. But we, as the church, I ain't saying this church, the entire body, we got our noses up at those that have a waver. We got our noses up at those that are vagabonds. We got our noses up at the drug dealers and the drug addicts and all these alcoholics, all these people out in the world. Instead of having your noses up at people, why don't you go out and witness to them and win them into the kingdom of God? Everybody in this world is a candidate for the kingdom of heaven. Nobody's exempt from sin. But yet God is the one, and when you accept Him, that will keep you covered in His blood. Oh, hallelujah. So what we really need is to drown our flesh in the glory of God until we are baptized in His anointing and rise up moving in the power that breaks us beyond religion, that breaks us beyond tradition, that breaks us beyond circumstance, and who's coming, who's going, who's not, and who's high. So now, the prodigal son got that revelation in the hog pen. The only thing that was stable and consistent and didn't change was his father. Listen, his circumstances changed. Glory. His career changed. His situation changed. His finances changed. And the only thing that remained the same was his father. And until you get your anchor in something that doesn't move, you'll be tossed to and fro by the winds and the waves of life. Catch this. But if you and I can ever get our anchors in something that's stable, though the winds and the waves and the lightning flash, it will not break us, because you know who you are, what you are, where you are, and to win. And you have to believe, and you have to be persuaded that God is able to keep that which you have committed unto him until the day of redemption. Ask your neighbor, do you really know God? Oh, y'all ain't asking like I just said it. Hallelujah. Do you really know? Because some people know more of him than they are that actually know him. There is a difference between quoting scriptures and knowing God. There is a difference in explaining hermeneutics and knowing God. There is a difference in carrying a Bible, wearing a holy cross, and knowing God. Because Daniel 11 and 32 says, the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Can I ask you another question? Thank you. Have you ever had an all of a sudden? Nobody answered me. Have you ever had and all of a sudden, and I'm talking about the prodigal son. Y'all stay with me now. Because all the Bible said all have sinned to come short to the glory of God. So we all had all of a sudden almost fell down, almost slept with that one, almost drunk that, almost smoked that. All of us had all of a sudden, and it finally clicked in your mind that everything you need is with the Father. So, all of a sudden, things begin to change. Because you remember how good God is. You remember how good you had it. You remember who the Father was, and it didn't matter how dirty the place was, or how dank the problem was, or how messed up your past was. If you ever get a revelation of who God is in any situation, it will immediately rapture you out of your situation and take you to the next level. Touch a neighbor again and tell them this. I'm leaving where I am. I'm going to the next level. I don't know about you, but I'm going to the next level. I've made up my mind that I'm going to the next level. And ain't no devil in hell can't stop. stop what God is getting ready to do in my life. Hallelujah. I've been in trouble too long. I've been in hell and didn't like it. I've been on drugs and didn't like it. I've been drunk many times and I didn't like it. I've did so many things, messed up with money, and I'm ashamed of what I did then. But glory be to God, I am what I am now. I'm not what I used to be because God has been good to me. Hallelujah. Do you not know that our God is an awesome God? He is an incredible Father. He is an awe-inspiring God. He can do all things but fail. He is absolute. He is unchangeable. He is immutable. He is everlasting. He is the eternal God. Moses had to even ask the question, when I go see them, who shall I say sent me? God said, tell them I am that I am. God is saying to us today, you'll never understand who I am because I am many things. I'm bread. I'm water. I'm light. I'm life. I'm salvation. I'm strength. I'm power. I'm liberty. I'm deliverance. I'm healing. I'm joy. I'm peace. I'm wisdom. I'm the Ancient of Days. I'm your day star. I'm the lily in the middle of the valley. I'm your joy in the midst of sorrow. I'm the wonderful counselor. I'm the mighty God. I'm the Prince of Peace. I'm the everlasting Father. And beside me alone there is no other God. I am your God. I have what you want. I got what you need. All you got to do is just call on me. I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that you know not. I am your God. You see, God holds the world in the palm of his hands. He stretched out the north and he hung the earth on nothing. He's God and God alone. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Which is, which was, which is to come. I am your God. And the thing we really need, especially in the time of day we're living in, and that is to know our God. Whether you're being fought over that in the spirit, or maybe we have been fought over that in the natural, all because some of us didn't get a real revelation of our natural Father. And sometimes we struggle with the spiritual ramification of knowing who our spiritual Father is. And we cannot receive, glory to God, the fullness of God's blessings until we truly repent and turn from our wicked ways. Only then will we receive our blessings from God. You see, I'm getting excited. Now I know how JJ felt when he get up here preaching his gospel. I need to know my God. I don't know about you. I can't go further without knowing my God. I can't go into my destiny until I can say, Abba Father, mighty God, and may I get to know him. And I may not get to know my natural father, but I refuse to spend the rest of my days on this earth and not know who God is. Whew, glory. I don't want to just know my spiritual brothers and sisters, but I want to know God in the power of his suffering, in the power of his resurrection, being conformable unto his death. Oh, man. Good God from Zion. I feel good. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. Can I? Thank you. See, it's a strange thing when you don't know your daddy. When I was growing up, as a son, I wanted to be just like my daddy. I wanted my daddy's stuff. You all know I have only daughters, no sons to imitate me. But my two grandsons were born, my joy. And now they want my stuff. Josh and Terrence want to wear my cologne. One day when I got home from work, changing out my uniform, I was looking for my slippers. Little Josh had them on. He was imitating me. And it's my. What I want to do is pass a legacy on to my children and my grandchildren. I want to make sure that if God calls me home, that they're going to be blessed. Let me get back. Let me stay in the story. So when the prodigal son came to himself, the revelation brought about a celebration. Did y'all get that? The revelation brought about a celebration. And you got to see this. There is no celebration like the kind of celebration that's based on revelation. Before I knew who God was, I had a pseudo love. I had a pseudo celebration. Buying love. Passing out gifts. Trying to get people to like me. Trying to win people's friendship. Trying to make some a connection. Trying to be with the right people at the right place at the right time just to get to the next level. But it didn't work. But once I got to know who God was, who he is rather, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen? I'm soon to close. But so now there's a surprise party. We're going into our 3 points. There's a surprise party concerning the younger brother, who the father thought was dead, but he's now alive. And this brought about a surprise party. But the surprise party wasn't the party. The surprise party was the elder brother's attitude. Because he heard the noise and found out that there was a party going on. Instead of him going in and joining the party, he asked one of the servants to come out. What's going on? He asked the servant. The servant said, your brother has returned from home, and the father is throwing him a party. He killed the fatted calf. Was it mine? Gave him a new robe. Not my robe. Put a ring on his finger. No, not my ring. You see, the elder brother had a bad issue. Who never left. Who never went wild. Who never got crazy. Who never did anything ridiculous. He didn't smoke. He didn't chew. He didn't run around with them that do, but he had evil and wickedness down on the inside that was worse than the younger brother who had a bad reputation. And let me tell you something. You have not seen wickedness and evilness until you see some church folk. I survived the drugs. I survived the fighting and the gang war in the streets. I survived a lot. But I figured this. Why do I have to fight just to survive in church? If you can survive what the younger brother been through, then there's no problem dealing with the attitude of the elder brother. This elder brother was one of the most wicked, hateful, conniving, spiteful, and envious creature you could ever meet in your life. It would have been better for him to have been with the harlots. It would have been better for him to to drink the liquor and spend all his money in the righteous living, than to hang around in the church being jealous and envious and could not stand to see nobody blessed. You ain't seen wickedness until you sit up dealing with somebody who secretly hopes you choke, smiling in your face, and stabbing you right in your back, and trying to kill you. But oh God, we're going to get some glory out of this. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I don't know about you. Somebody better come and get me, because I'm starting to feel this thing. I'm tired of fighting with the devil. I'm tired of fighting with the devil that's in people that's trying to come after me to break me down like they can beat me. Because the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So if I got God in me, ain't nothing, no devil, no man, no woman, nobody in this earth can do to stop me. The elder brother brings before us the embodiment of an issue that is seldom discussed. Here's a brother who cannot figure out why the path he pursued has not been more productive in his life. You see, he paid tithes. He gave his offerings. He got books and tapes. He survived on the church board committee. He was on the willing workers committee. He spinned around several times, skipped on one foot. But when everything was said and done, he did not have any joy, any peace, any deliverance. Instead of seeking the face of God, he became bitter and cynical and jealous, and he didn't know that the problem was within him. You see, when you remain crippled, you're often... Let me start that over again. When you remain crippled, God will often bless somebody next to you just to provoke you to jealousy, so you can dig deep down in yourself and say, what's wrong with me that I'm not getting the same blessings that God has given by everybody else? Dig deep and find out why you're not getting God's blessings. And he's got to bless me because he made a promise. He's the same God. Am I right about the Deacon Tony? I got the same word. I got the same power. But listen, you have to have a confrontation with your God and say, why are you blessing everybody but me? It's all right to talk to God. Get ready to close. This elder brother was so messed up with the return of his younger brother that when he heard the noise, he didn't go in and join the party, because he really didn't know what real praise even meant. Hallelujah. We're living with a generation that doesn't know how to really praise God for the return of a sinner. And I must say this, that the angels of heaven are rejoicing over one sinner that repents and comes to the Lord or accepts the Lord. So I wonder if we can celebrate with our brothers and sisters who have upon their return. Do you know that a lot of people leave church because of our attitudes? As though we have forgotten where we come from. And just because you're a little saved now doesn't give you the audacity to point your finger at anyone. Who do we think we are? God is the judge, and we're not to judge anyone. Am I right about it? Stand on your feet. I'm going to give you these two last points, and we're going to close this out. The first A that I gave you is the prodigal son got a revelation of the abundance of the Father when he said, Father, give me the portion. Until you understand how big God is and how abundant he is, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to his power that worketh within us. Do you know that God gives you the power to get wealth so you don't have to get somebody else's? God has established a covenant with all of us. God has promises for all of us. And what God has for you is for you. What God has for me is for me. You don't have to come and get mine. I'm not coming to get yours. I want what God has in store for me. So why, if God can show grace unto the younger son, the prodigal son, do you know God's grace is sufficient to all of us? But we're so upset because God has allowed the son and the daughters to return. Instead of us praising God for them, with them, we're ready to kick them away. That's why so many people are joining other cults. Because of our attitudes, because of the way we look at them, because of the, you know, what we have, which is all material things, and you think we better than one another. Ain't nobody better than nobody. We all God's kids. We all God's children. We all supposed to be on one accord. We need to go back to Acts when the church began, when they were all on one accord. We need to go back there and preach the gospel like it was preached and thousands of people came to soul, came to Christ. That's where we need to go back to Christ, not trying to build all these big churches and got all these people in our churches and all these people, a lot of these people going straight to hell because you're not preaching the unadulterated word of God. You're not standing up for Christ. You're doing whatever you want to do and still think you're going to make it in the kingdom of God. That is not the will of God. So the prodigal son got that revelation in the hog's pen. When he remembered how his father's servants were well off than he was, and if the father is fat, P-H-A-T, then you must know that he will not withhold any good thing from them who walketh upright. Amen? And the last A is this. You have access to the abundance for yourself. So stop hating on your brothers because of what they have. Stop hating on your brothers because the Father have blessed them upon their return. Stop hating on anybody for the inheritance that was promised that God finally gave because that person finally got himself together. So God gave them the promise on this earth. You have access to the abundance for yourself. Why? Because Jesus, when he died on the cross, when the Bible says when that veil split, we got access to the Father for ourselves to get your blessings. Amen. God bless you.